Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate Matt taking up the offering this morning. Give is giving unto the Lord. He said to give cheerfully. Not grudgingly, not even out of necessity. You know, I'll find a second. You know, I believe it's God's heart that if you're just doing it because you're checking off a list, he just assumes you're not bothered with it. He says, not out of necessity, but out of a love to do what he's asked you to do. I so appreciate that that's how he treats me. Out of a love for me. His desire for me. His want, Sister Rose, to just commune with me. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. That was his original design, to just spend some time in the cool of the day with us. He longs for that. He loves that. That's his desire. I appreciate that that's the way he is with us. That's the way we need to be with one another. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the battle is still raging. The enemy still does not like you, and he doesn't like what you stand for. And he really doesn't like you if you mean it. He's fine with you showing up for church and being the head of your house and the head of your life and doing things the way you want to do and putting on a face or a facade every Sunday and whatever. He's fine with that, no problem, because you're not surrendered to God. But what he has a real problem with and what he can't stand is when you're growing in God's grace and knowledge, when you're growing in God's mercy, and you're surrendering to God. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like the fact that God has set up everything to be in eternity and spend eternity with him. He lost out on that, and he doesn't like you for that. He hates you for that. He hates what, like I said, what you stand for, what you're doing, what you're... hate your family, hate your spouse, hate your kids. We need to realize that's a real thing. You know, it's kind of a silly thing. So, come on, it's Sunday morning, it's church. Folks, Satan is out to get you. Does Scripture not say, be sober and be vigilant? Does Scripture not say that he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? And he's on the prowl. He's on the prowl. Pastor said something just a little bit ago. He said, but we are of faith. What does that mean? That means we believe what the Word of God says and conduct our lives accordingly. We're convinced of what Jesus Christ said. We're convinced of what the Word of God says. And so we live our life accordingly. That's not putting on a mask. That's not conducting ourselves to... be seen among men, you know, for self-gain. But that's a change in our heart, a change in our mind, a renewing of our mind each and every day so that we conform to the will of the Father. That's what the Word of God is. That's what living by faith is. And there's a bunch of stuff we could say about that and get into it, but I don't want to take up a lot of time with that. Simply to say that there is a battle raging, a spiritual battle raging. Do you not know that Scripture says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places? That's what's going on in the heavenlies. Your prayer life, your communication with your Heavenly Father has a whole lot to do with that being in, how should I say it? Yeah, which way it goes, the way the battle goes, so to speak. You're trusting in faith and believing in God. Right along with that, the speech, not so much to God, but just, well, it could be, but just your speech all the time really kind of sways this. Do you remember what Scott ministered about Wednesday night? I think the title of the message was Calling Those Things Forth. Scripture says, do you not know that Scripture says that power of life and death is in the tongue? It's not voodoo nonsense. It's not some weird something Hollywood's come up with and this and that and whatever. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. And yes, people can spurn off this way and spurn off that way and twist things out of context and make an awful mess of things that just gives a really bad taste in people's mouths about the church, about preachers, about TV evangelism, and all kinds of things. That's not what we're wanting to involve ourselves in. What we want to involve ourselves in is simply what the Word of God says. Believe it, live it, and watch its blessings and benefits happen in our life. Because that's God's desire. That's God's desire. And you're blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. That's God's design. That's God's desire. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's... Anybody believe spiritual warfare is true? Anybody believe that God ministers to us through dreams and visions? Know ye not, the scripture says, in the last day, he'll minister dreaming, dreams, visions, things of that nature. I'll pour out of my spirit. See, we're either going to believe this thing, like the pastor said, but we're a people of faith. What people of faith do, they believe what the Word of God says. Now, we can read it, and it sounds good, and hey, I'll try that out sometime and go ahead and live our lives. That's not living of faith. You're conformed to the image of Christ. Would you agree with me in prayer for Sister Nancy and for the lesson this morning? Father, we love you. We appreciate you, and thank you so much that you listen to us, that you answer prayer, that you're faithful to your word. Great is your faithfulness. Father, we love you and praise you and honor you for it. It causes us to want to change the things that are wrong in our life. It causes us to want to surrender and humble ourselves before your mighty hand, Father, before your mighty name. Father, may we be 100% surrendered to you, yielded to your spirit, to your will, to your way. Father, may we love you with all our heart, our mind, soul, and strength. May we serve one another, love one another as ourselves. And in that, Father, lifting up your name and lifting up your word, that your name would be lifted up, honored in all that we say and all that we do, that everything we put our hand to would be blessed and prosper because it's of you, Father, not of us, but of you. Father, we thank you that you're fulfilling your word in dreams and visions. We thank you, Father, that we can trust in it, that we can believe and confide in your word and in you. And you minister to us as in the ways as that you say that you're going to, and that is through your word. Father, we ask for clarity and for understanding, but only, Father, in your timing with this dream. We ask that you would minister it according to your purpose and your plan, not stuff that we come up with, not our own interpretation, but that you would minister that to Sister Nancy, and that it would accomplish, Father, what it's meant to accomplish. We're trusting in you, Lord, not in anything else. We love you and we believe you and praise you for it. Have your will, this your perfect way, and the lesson this morning. We thank you for it. We thank you for the freedoms, Father, that we're enjoying. We thank you for the opportunity to be here with your people. May we grow in your grace and knowledge this morning. We having ears to hear, paying attention to what your Spirit would say as your Spirit ministers to us. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we could just pray and pray and pray for an hour and take up the whole lesson. I love talking to him. He's just... Well, he's not just anything. He's all right. He's wonderful. Anybody happy this morning? More important, anybody got a joy residing inside that just accidentally exposes itself every once in a while? Second Corinthians 9:8 said, God is able. Here's some more green beans for you, or whatever you really like. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all efficiency in all things, may abound to every, you could say all good works there, but it says every good work. I love that about my Heavenly Father. God is able. Now listen real close. That did not say God will put all grace towards you. It says He's able to. You see, grace is a gift. Salvation is a gift. He's not going to impute that in you and you've got to deal with it. It's a gift. And I know there's ways that we can say things and term things and define things that we got to be careful so that we're all on the same page and everything with what we're saying here and don't get some kind of weird twisted doctrine or whatever else. All I'm simply saying, if we can say it in the most simplicity, is it says that God is able to do these things. He has the power. He possesses it. He's got all the mercy and more that you and the whole wide world needs. And it's available if you'll take that from him. He done spent a whole lot of it, even though he's got an endless supply. You remember that old song? I was thinking about that with maybe I'll come up with it later. But anyway, Scott was mentioning in some song or something Wednesday night, and that I'll think of it as an old, back when it was 94.9. Let's get back on the lesson. Anyway, God's able to accomplish all this and provide all of this and everything we need, but we have to trust in that. We have to believe that. We have to accept it. You see, Jesus Christ, and what I was about to say, he spent all the mercy in the world with Jesus Christ giving for Curtis's soul, Melissa's soul, and Jeremy's soul, and Terry's soul, and my soul, and Tony's soul, and all of our souls so that we could be saved. But that doesn't mean we accept it. The whole world isn't accepting Jesus Christ, even though God spent all the mercy in the world. And still is. But that doesn't mean we have to accept it. There, God is able. It's all there. It's provided. All kinds of opportunity. But unless you pick it up and apply it to your life, you're going to fall into a devil's hell, which wasn't prepared for you. Okay. God is able to make all grace abound towards us. That you, Rose, that you, Dorothy, that you, Dwayne, having all sufficiency. Oh, I like being sufficient. Having things that are sufficient. Amen. In all things. That blows my mind. You see all the alls in here? May abound unto every good work. All good work. Barely get by. Let me see that. I know it. All sufficient. I'm telling you. Always. In all things. What we struggle to grasp that because it's not happening in our life the way we define it to happen in our life. You see, I don't have $1 million in the bank. Anyone in here does. That God bless you. Fine. Great. But a lot of times we think $1 million will fix everything. That won't fix a thing. Money takes on the person's attitudes, desires, and all those kinds of things. So it's unless you're right, money's not going to help you at all. And we can fill in the blank with a bunch of other things like that. Yes. Yes. How about the pastor kind of segued right into the lesson here. All right. Maybe he was subliminally, move on. just having fun. We're supposed to, right? I'd be the happiest people on the planet. All right, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. A lot about, I guess you could say, prosperity. Again, these terms need to be defined with godly terms, not what we got stuck in our little pea-brain minds. So a lot of times we'll get on Facebook, we'll get on this, we'll get on that, we'll spend time with people at work or whatever, and we'll see, oh, now they're living the life. Oh, now they've got it. Oh, now this. Oh, now that. Or you get on Facebook and people's got this facade of their so-called life that all it is vacationing and this and that and whatever, and we think, how can I get there? Guys, you're pretty shallow. There's nothing wrong with wanting to vacation. There's nothing wrong with wanting to go see this and see that and whatever. But if that's your drive and that's your heart and you don't think you're doing all right, you're shallow. I don't know if that's it's probably not a nice way of saying it, but sights are too low. Yeah, shallow. Okay. On the flip side, anyway. Okay, verse 28. God blessed them. Who's he talking about here? Adam and Eve. Created all the animals, created all the plants, and restored everything in the earth back to what he wanted it, what he intended it to be. Then he tells Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, over the fowl, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. The evening, the morning, were the sixth day. Okay, over in the quarterly. The words of God were spoken to Adam and Eve before they fell into sin. This sets forth God's ideal for human habitation of the earth. It was. Do you realize God set up a plan in a way, and he set up governments and set up all kinds of stuff for humanity to flourish and to prosper? Sin is what messed things up. I mean, what am I trying to say? A lot of times we look at things and form opinions like this without really understanding what's going on. Did you know God ordains governments? And a lot of times, the first thing I remember, I hate the government. It's the government's fault for this and this and that and whatever. And stupid Texas and whatever. Do you know God ordained those things? Now, what makes that wrong is sin. Nothing wrong with government. Nothing wrong with principalities. Nothing wrong with things that God has set up. You can read, I believe it's through Corinthians, there are all this stuff that are God ordained because we need them. And for us to work together in society and things to prosper and everybody prospering, we need these things set up. Whether you want to believe that or not, accept it or not, you need to read the Word of God and believe it. It's already there, yes. Okay. It was God's will for humans to multiply, to replenish, to fill the earth. God's will was that humans would have dominion over the earth under his dominion. Thus, in effect, God ordained humans to be his, listen, stewards of all of earth's resources, which he created to sustain the life of all living things. Now, we can get into some different doctrines, some different thoughts about things that the lesson isn't about, but this is real important to understand what's going on here. God has given you the authority on earth. That's what take dominion means. Okay? Authority was given. You are his steward. He brought the animals before Adam, and Adam named them. God didn't. Adam named them. God didn't. Adam named them. You see, it was Adam's choice. Oh, we got to get that in our heads. Anyways, so is the rest of everybody. But God gave authority to Adam and Eve to rule here, and to their children, and to their children's 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 children. Okay? That's the way God set it up. Well, why is it in such a mess? Because of sin. Okay? All right, moving on. Excuse me. Okay. I can't make that joke on video. Thus, in effect, God ordained humans to be his stewards of all the earth's resources, which he created to sustain the life of all living things on the earth. For humans and animals, God gave seeds, beans, peas, lentils, grains of plants and seeds, nuts of trees for food. Humans were also ordained of God to eat of the fruit of the trees, herbs, meaning vegetables. Then after the flood, God added to the human diet, of everything that moves upon the earth shall be meat for you, but with a prohibition against eating blood. Okay, so originally God set up, it was the greens, it was herbs. That's how God ordained and set things up. Amen. Amen. Okay. I'm kind of reiterating this so that we get this. This is the way God set things up. He has set things up for Jeremy Brannan and for Scott Pitts, for Mitch Gooden, for all of us. My, what a God we have. The point of all this is to say that God made humans the stewards of earth's resources so that they could multiply on earth, sustain their lives, and prosper for the glory of God and for their own welfare. You see, it's God's will that you prosper. Be careful how you define the word prosper. A whole lot of everything in the bank and this and everything my beady little heart desires is not prospering unless God's first. There's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with things. But like we were talking about, I don't know, it was maybe a month ago or so, Christ was speaking, the disciples kind of wearied a little bit when he said, it's real hard, or easier for the camel, pass through the eye of the needle thing, for a rich man to get into heaven. Why is that? Because the door is narrower, or you got to, taxes are higher or something. No, because the rich man a lot of times trusts in his riches instead of trusting in God. God ain't got a problem at all with you having something in his timing when you got your trust in him and realizing it's him who prospers you. It's him who provides. It's him who set all this up. But when you want to go outside of God and do everything on your own, and you know, and have, and a lot of it, guys, is when you have the attitude and the thought of, I'll be okay whenever I have this. Here's one probably all of us has been tempted, and maybe some of us have said, I'll give whenever I can afford it. I'll give whenever, you know, once I make this much money and I have this much setback, then I can start giving. That's unscriptural, folks. That is unscriptural, folks. Unless it's here first, you'll never do it. It's here that everything that has any meaning between us and God originates, right here. We can think all the good things in the world, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Like sitting and watching that exercise video or whatever else. We can sit and watch and watch, but unless it's what we're going to do and it's our drive and it's our desire, it'll never happen. The person who wants to give and wants to bless and see families blessed and see somebody prosper will give of their two mites, even though that's all they got. I don't like that, Eddie. That, you're right, it does rub the flesh the wrong way. But if you'll have the audacity to believe what you say you believe, watch God work. Be obedient and watch God work. But if you're going to butt, then just let's stop the conversation, move on to something else, because you're not listening and you're not accepting and you're not understanding. That's how cut and dry we need to be with this, because it's truth. You can't sugarcoat some truth and do this to truth to change it. It's the truth. It's always going to be the truth. And unless you live by it, you're not going to benefit from it. Okay? We was watching a show the other day, and some guy was wanting his business to be able to do something with some land, some environmentalist, whatever. Anyway, ended up killing the guy, and then later on, to cover that up, something happened that was revealed, so he had to kill somebody else. You know, and it was this whole trickle effect. That's what's going to happen in your life when you allow doubt to creep in, think you're ruling the roost and you're getting things done, and it's by your way and by the way. You see, you're going to have to continue cover things up to fix and fill everything, and you're going to—it'll wear you out. Been there, done that. It'll wear you out. But when you can have the audacity to believe something like, I'll never believe you, I'll never forsake you, I'll stick closer than a brother. If you'll do this, this, and this, and this, blessing, 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 blessing. That doesn't mean dandelions and roses, and everything will go according to your little old way, wills, and wants. If you know, the further you get in this, the further you trust in God, you'll realize your desires are off track a little bit. The things you want are just a little bit outside of God's will for your life. We don't like to hear that, so we'll move right along. God's original will for humans, let's see, where'd we get to? The point of all this is say that God made humans the stewards of earth's resources so that they could multiply on the earth, sustain their lives, and prosper for the glory of God and their own welfare. God's original will for humans was that our life on earth should be good, characterized by an abundance and the enjoyment of life with gratitude to God. Genuine gratitude to God includes reverence and love for God and obedience to His commandments. Sadly, first humans disbelieved and disobeyed God and became sinners. As we know, this had consequences for the whole human race, all being descendants of Adam and Eve. Sin and death for all humans came by Adam. God-given human dominion over the earth is not yet completely lost. I'm sorry. God-given human dominion over the earth has not been completely lost as a consequence of human sinfulness, but it has been greatly compromised. Satan by human sinning. Thus, while the curse of sin remains with us, humans, while accomplishing amazing acts on earth, still fall short of the ideal life God intended for us at the beginning. Why is that? Because sin's still relevant. Why is that? Because we're still dealing with our own sinful nature, our own sinful desires, the sin that's in earth. That's still relevant. It's still here. It's something we still have to deal with. That's why we have to constantly trust the Lord. Look to Him. Lean on Him. Amen? That's right. Amen. let's see. Thus, while the curse of sin remains with us, humans, while accomplishing amazing things on earth, still fall short. While humans and the whole creation wait for deliverance from the curse of sin, we remain accountable to God to be good stewards of earth's resources, to exercise our dominion over the earth under the dominion of God. To the extent that we fail to do this, we become destroyers of the earth and stand under the judgment of God, spiritually, morally, and materially. We have been given the assignment as stewards of the earth. God's given that to us. Does anybody own anything at all? Period. I own a toothbrush. I went and bought it. It's mine. Got some shoes on. Those are mine. Not Scott's, not Dean's. Those are mine. They probably wouldn't want them anyways. We all own things. How well do you take care of them? That's stewardship. We all probably drove a vehicle here. I don't think anybody went horseback or walked. You know, you have dominion over that vehicle. It does, and you take care of it only the way you do. You have dominion over it. You're the authority over it. How well do you steward that and take care of it? It says a whole lot about your character. Do we like hearing that? Do you wash it fairly often? You change the oil in it fairly often? Guys, we go on and on down this line. It's a real good indication of the character that we have in us of taking care of something and stewarding something and caring for something and making sure something prospers to the best of its ability so that it's well taken care of. It's amazing to me. And I'll just witness of myself and not of anyone else. But Jeremy, when I would borrow someone else's tools, now this was years ago, this was before recent events. Let's say it this way. When I lived at home, that's a better way to say it. Okay? I didn't pay for hardly anything because I was a minor, you know. I was living under mommy and daddy, whatever. Now that I'm myself or having to take care of things, I don't shut the doors quite so hard. Don't leave the lights on just all the time. You know, and I go on and on with that kind of scenario. You understand what I'm saying? When you pay for it, when it's, whew, did y'all feel that? You see, when God paid for you, Jeremy, when God supplied payment in full for everything for you, He didn't slack. He didn't pull back. He didn't hold back on anything. He just displayed love, 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 love. How are you stewarding what He's put in you? How are you stewarding the great precious price, Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, washing over Tony Nicewarner? How is He stewarding that? Washing over Caitlin Mashburn, how is she stewarding that? And that's a spiritual thing, and that's kind of a little bit outside what we're talking about, but it filtrates right into what you have, what God's blessed you with. Pastor's mentioned a few times of a preacher saying, don't ask God for anything unless you can appreciate what He's already given you. You know, if you're already taking care of what He's given you. One of my kids, well, more than one of them, I was trying to hold back, not be so open and honest and transparent. Any of y'all's kids like playing games? Of course they do. It's the big thing. And one of them has a game I bought for them for their birthday. I believe it was last year. And already this year, they want the next one. Because it's got better graphics, I guess, and things you can do with it. You can't. It's like you've already got that game. Oh, no, Dad, but this one's, it's better. It's better. You know, and that's a little besides the fact as far as that goes, but the point being, unless we can appreciate what we've got, good steward what we've got, we shouldn't expect more from God. Do you remember the parable of the talents, 1-5, 1-2, 1-1? The one with five did great, doubled what he was given for the master. The one with two, what'd he do? Exactly the same, he doubled what he was given. But the one with one, I was scared of you, so I went and hid it so I for sure wouldn't lose it. You know, he didn't steward anything. He didn't steward or take care of anything. Okay, we're running out of time. Jeremiah, excuse me, chapter 29. Love you, Lord. Thank you. Praise you. Worship you. Honor you. I'm so glad he's watching out for us. uh, chapter 29, verse 4 through 7. Excuse me. Listen to what I say before you form what you think I'm saying. It is God's will for you to prosper. It is God's will for you to prosper. What messes shallow Christians up, young Christians up, people who don't want to put the time in studying and learning God's character and what His real heart for us is they think that means boats and four-wheelers and houses and vehicles and every material stinking thing you can think of, and you don't even think about a relationship with God. You don't even think about your kids being under God's favor and protection. Education going well. Health going well. A lot of times we don't go to those things as prosper. We just think of, what can I get my hands on? What can I spend? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? What can... That's a lot of where our mind goes 90-something percent of the time. someone who hadn't lived a little bit and learned some things. I would rather have peace and joy knowing my kids are taken care of than having anything in the world. Knowing my wife and I are in a solid relationship than having little things that I can go spend time with and whatever else. I would much rather have, that's prospering. Let me step one up of that, Rose. God overshadowing all those things, blessing in all those things, and love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, and temperance, residing, flourishing in abundance in my life is the biggest prosperity that we can experience. That means God's living in us. That relation's intact. We trust in Him. We believe in Him. Now, here's a really, really neat, cool thing about God is when that's all in place, we're trusting, confiding in His great love, safe from all harm, safe, sheltering arms, living by faith, feel no alarm, you know, all that, experiencing that in life, there's blessings beyond blessings that He will provide, He will bless with. I mean, things you just wouldn't even think about. Just wonderful in favor. Y'all looking at me like I'm speaking Greek or something. Has anybody experienced that at all? Okay, good. Good. Even as your soul prospers. It's God's will that you prosper. That's what He placed you here for. That's what He designed you for. Now, Eddie, you're contradicting yourself because just last week and the week before that and the week before that, you said, I've learned how to be abased and go and suffer need, like Paul just said. Absolutely. Yes. Did you know that's prosperity? You see, we've got to get our thinking the way the Word of God thinks. When we can say, I know how to be abased and everything's fine and cool. That's prosperity. Because I know in who I believed and I'm fully persuaded He's able to keep, He's able to do, He's able. What was the golden text? He's able. All sufficiency and all things abound into every good work. You see, that's prosperity. Don't jump off to millions of dollars and houses and lands and... Yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. All these things will be added. Oh, I love that verse. I absolutely love that verse. Melissa brought this up Wednesday night that I think is right there in the same chapter. Your earthly fathers know that when you ask for bread, they're not going to give you a serpent or a rock or a stone, or you ask for this. How much more, I love how she brought that, how much more so, Scripture says, would your heavenly Father give to you good things? Scott just mentioned, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. All these things will be added. This is the one I was talking about that I absolutely love. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. He's the Creator. My goodness, He's shaped and fashioned us. He knows, Jeremy, what we need. And He's the one that put all the ingredients inside me that makes me who I am. So He knows real specifically this make and model number. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. But if I want to sit on the throne and kind of push Him off of it because I know best. And I think, and it needs to be in my timing. And prosperity means this, not that, God. And da 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 da. And we go on and on and on. And we rattle our heads and things are shaking. And that's great and that's wonderful that we're agreeing. But here's the thing. Daily, you've got to keep that in check or you'll get off. You'll get out off track. You'll get out of the way, however you want to say it. That's why we, Romans 12, I think it's verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You need to get the Word of God recycled in here like one of them pumps, like like some kind of pump that pumps something. Yes. Okay, let's move on. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, beget sons and daughters. Take ye wives of your sons and give to your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters. Does this not sound like prosperity? Does this not sound just like what he told Adam and Eve? Replenish, set up, build. Why is that? Because God has set this up for us to be sustained, for us to be stewards, and for things to be set up with society of how things are supposed to be according to God, governments and plans and this and that and whatever, to get us all to be able to prosper and to be able to do. It's awesome. It's awesome. Yes. Yeah, and it's a big, think about it. Would you like to be God and try to be, and I don't mean any disrespect, it's just kind of, you know, dealing with German people over there, and you're dealing with Americans over here, and you're dealing with Russians over there, and you're dealing with South Americans over here, and man, he's got a job, doesn't he? I mean, what kind of love is that? And every individual he made, every individual he's called, every individual he has a purpose, plan, design for, even on the other side of the world. I don't know if you think about that a lot. That's something that passes through my mind every once in a while. Jimmy's like, what are those people doing over there? How's God dealing with them? What's their trust in him? You know, it's mind-boggling, and God's able to get that done. How's he able to get that done? Take dominion over this, take dominion over that. We're going to set up governments so that commerce and things can work around this whole globe. That's God ordained and designed. But it's to be done justly and righteously and holy. Why is the world in the mess it's in? Because we got God out of the way and trying to do it on our own and make it work. And without him, it doesn't work. Kind of like a marriage. We're both trying to do our best for our part and everything's just falling apart. Because God's not in it. We say it is, but he's not. It's evident. Proof's in the pudding. You cannot fake the truth. You might take that, you remember that possum pie thing we talked about like 2 years ago, or skunk pie, I mean, whatever, and I described it as nasty as I could, whatever, and then you put a bunch of whipped cream over it. Oh, you can make it seem like something good, but once you cut in there, the truth is coming out. You see, you cannot fake the truth. You can't. You can't. You can fool some shallow people every once in a while, but you cannot fake the truth. While these words are from a letter God commanded to the prophet Jeremiah to send to the captive Jews in Babylon, they reveal God's purpose in human industry. While most of the captive Jews in Babylon were initially involved in agriculture and services service occupations, because they obeyed the letter sent to them by Jeremiah, they succeeded and prospered, and many of them eventually became merchants, bankers, officials, governments in Babylon. In spite of their captivity, God wanted his people, the Jews in Babylon, to attend to good lives characterized by godliness, success, prosperity, and well-being. You see, that's the advertisement. That's the, what is the word? Marketing. Any John Deere tractor likers out there? Okay, whether you are or you aren't, that's fine. I'm just going to use them as an example. We talk about the yellow and the green. I heard a guy say the other day, they are simply a marketing company. Yeah, they sell tractors on the side, but they're a marketing company because they're just pushing the product. All right, let's get off of that and get back to where we're at. With Christians, we need to be pushing the product. Because we ought to, there's good English for you, believe in what it is we're selling, what it is we're promoting, what it is we're believing in. Amen. Yes. God is the giver of every good thing. We need to get that and remember that too. You know, the devil can fake it though. You remember Moses. And God performed the miracle in front of him. Then the magicians had done the same thing God did. Did you hear what I just said? You see, you got to be real careful not to look for some sign and some wonder. Oh, it must be of God because this. It must be of God because this special preacher said it. It must be of God because this. I'm telling you, if it's not the Word of God and God Himself, be cautious. It better line up with His Word. I don't care what miracle or what blessing or what whatever shows itself to be. Jesus said, many Christs will come, proclaiming to be me. Take heed that no man deceive you. Right. The lady kept saying, you know, the disciples of Jesus Christ, I can't remember the exact phrase she was using. Yeah, praise the good Lord, you know, here comes his disciples. But, you know, yeah, Satan can, you know, put on a facade. Absolutely. But at some point it needs to be dealt with. But anyways, my point is, don't believe the false. Don't believe the whited walls. Same kind of scenario there. Yeah, same kind of scenario. So stewards, representatives, ambassadors, let's make sure we're doing this correctly. Let's make sure we're doing this according to the Word of God. Of course, we're going to be blessed and benefited. That's God's design. But is further in His design is that it blesses and benefits those around us. God's real big about that. You remember I love this parable too. I think it was a parable. Where the guy was having the party in his house. I can't remember if it was the wedding or not or what it was. And, call all my workers. Call all my family. And it kind of made him mad. Bust the windows open. Bust the doors open. I mean, go to the hedges and the highways. We got plenty of room. Come on in, boys. The water's fine, you know. We've got the room. I've got blessings. See, that's God's desire, Jeremy. That's God's want. He wants to bless. He wants everybody in. Come in. Come in. But He's not going to make us, but He's imploring us. I have, like Jesus told the woman at the well, I have the bread of life. I got water. I think it was Dean ministered this one. He ministered last Wednesday night. The last Wednesday night he did. I've got water. If you knew who it was you were speaking to, you'd have asked for the real stuff, the good stuff. You see, God wants to give us the good stuff. Oh, if we could get that. But I want what I want. You know, we don't say it that way, but we sure do live our lives like that if we're not. Yeah. Yeah. God gives abundantly. I don't know if God does anything outside of abundance. But anyways, God gives abundantly all things to enjoy. And He wants us to live for Him and His glory and success to do well in life. That's His desire. That's His plan. That's what He wants to get accomplished. But it's in Him. I cannot stress this verse enough. In Him we live and move and have our being. We got to realize it's not in us, in our abilities, in our whatever. It's in God, and what God does is pulls on the ingredients that He uses to make us who we are to get those things accomplished through us. Amen. Witnessing. Woo. Proverbs 11. Just going to read we're about out of time. I'm going to read the little titles over each one of these. First one says, Biblical Responsibilities in Business, and it says, Seek the well-being of all, and sufficiency is of God. The next one says, Biblical Ethics in Business, being honest and industrious and to be just and to be fair. You see, God has a way that business is supposed to be. Relationships are supposed to be. God has designed that in us. Sin messes it up, but God has put a design in us to do things ethically, to do things fair, to do things justly. And when we accept Jesus Christ in our life, that thing is I don't know how to say it, rekindled. Put in afresh and anew, brought alive. But here's the thing, and here's where we miss it, because we think God's just going to make that happen. We're just going to be a super Christian or something. I don't know what we think sometimes. But unless we're doing our part to trust God for those things and to draw on those things aren't going to get done. It's kind of like the telling the stove to make a fire or to give us some heat, and then we'll build a fire in there. It's so backward and it's twisted and wrong. But that's how we treat God a lot of times. We think he's supposed to do everything. Well, I'm just putting it in your hands. Okay, but willing to be a part of the answer. Here's a good one. Right there. Well, I'm trying to think of a better example. Okay. God, help me pass the test. I need to pass this test, Lord. I put my full faith in, and we can give a pharisaical prayer to be above all prayers and just really impress everyone around us. And God just kind of looking at us like, okay. And we don't study. We don't get real intent about reading the book. But then we happen to come to church and we hear the pastor's wife or somebody say, well, you've got to get it in there before God can get it out. So you do your best to go home and read a whole book in 30 minutes. And then think God's supposed to do something. You see, we get these weird, twisted thoughts of trying to appease our conscience how things are supposed to be. Well, the pastor said, if I'll spend 5 minutes with my wife or my husband or whatever in prayer, then everything's going to make everything. Folks, it's a change in who you are, and you're becoming who Jesus Christ is and pulling on all those characteristics to be who you are. It's not, I'm so sick of, and I'm sure you are too, but I don't know if you can listen to the radio, watch TV or whatever without some get something quick thing. Just take a pill, everything just change your life. You'll be a new person. Why didn't God come up with this before? Did you hear what I just said? Why didn't God come up? Anyways. Yeah. Yeah. And then we need God to bless our health. Because we just stuffed ourselves full of grease and pork byproduct and whatever else. I'm telling you, folks, a lot of the healing we need God to take place in our life is our own fault of what we're putting in our mouths. It's yes, best way to put it, best phrase this morning, self-inflicted. And then we expect God to fix everything, but then we go right back out and I can just eat whatever I want to eat and do whatever I need because I got my healing. That means I'm a newborn baby again. I don't know if you noticed or not, but you're still your same beautiful shell of a body that you're living in. You need to, what's the lesson about this morning? Steward that body. Don't be an imposter of Jesus Christ, of what he's called us to be. Misrepresenting. Okay, we're out of time. Praise God because he's merciful, he's righteous, he's just. He's true. If you get anything at all out of the lesson this morning, being real with God, stewardshipping what he's given you, God be praised. I know this is a controversial phrase, but he does want you to prosper. But you got to define it according to God's dictionary, not your own, not the world's. And it's not in, and there is a little bit of an innocency in a probation period, I guess. I don't know what the best way to say it. You know, when you're a young Christian and you're trying your best to believe the Word of God, but it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense and whatever, but you're doing what you're supposed to be. You know, that's great. That's a learning thing. We all got to crawl before we walk kind of a thing. And so we're learning to believe those things. And God understands that and he knows that. But once you understand our Father, which art in heaven, and you immediately go to hallowed be thy name, and you spend a little bit of time right there, it gets you in your place. He's already in his place, you see, but in here he needs to be in that place. Then it puts you in that place. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That one's powerful, man, that's powerful. Give us this day. See, there's nothing wrong with asking for God. He already knows what you have need of, but Jesus said to ask. Give us this day our daily bread. Here's another huge one, but this one will change your life. First, forgive us of our sins. You know, a lot of times I need to quit. Forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, King James says. forgive as we forgive those that trespass against us. That's key. That's key. Jesus did it, and that's what he personified. While he was yet hanging on the tree, Rose, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's a love that's all got. We've got a seed of that inside us. How much is that flourishing and growing? We can reproduce that so that we can look our enemy in the face and want to bless instead of curse. Jesus said, you've heard of it of old. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, publicans and sinners do that. My children will love their enemy. Pray for those that despitefully use them. It's a real big heart and attitude check to live under Jesus Christ. And there's a real simple, simple, easy way to get it all done. And it's available to all of us. And that is crucify the flesh. I'm crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ lives within me. Scripture says it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. It's in no other way. It's not in your brain. It's not in your understanding. It's not in any. It's in Him. In Him. No other name given. I can quote them all again. We need to quit. God's good, isn't He? He is good all the time. He's the master of the wind. When life's storms are raging, and we don't understand, and we don't know why, and we have no answers, know who the master is. Only He will sustain and keep and provide. He's the anchor. He's the anchor. Not what we think we understand, not what we think we can have hope in, because things will disappoint. Only Christ is the anchor. Only Christ is the sustainer. And forsaking everything else, Christ said, unless you hate. You see, we can't dwell in the secret place of the Most High and appreciate and live under the shadow of the Almighty unless we first do what Christ said. Amen?